So I just was looked at my business and I said, okay, like, how can I redo this business in a way that it's really going to work this time? And I realized, okay, well, do I need the office? No. Okay, well, let's, cause that's a big expense there. So I cut that out and I started looking, I'm like, how can I run this marketing agency in a way that this is actually going to really produce not just money for me, but produce really good results for my clients, everything like that. So I literally spent the whole night, I don't think I slept that night, on a whiteboard writing all these ideas down. And I was like, all right, this is the new business model. It's way more lean, it's way more effective, and we're going to get better results for our clients and we're going to make more money. So that's exactly what I did. I went into execution mode. The next 4 months, I remember it was February, March, April, May, June. Yeah, up until pretty much June. I just executed. I didn't do anything. I didn't go to a single party, didn't go to a single outing. I sat in my room and just worked. And I worked so much. And I'm telling you, that's when things started to take off for me, right? That's when finally, okay, started getting people paying me $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month. I remember when I got someone paying me my first $1,600 a month, I was like, this is great. And when you get a couple of those adding up, all of a sudden it's like, okay, wow, you know, we're running a six-figure business here.
Well, welcome back to the Small Business Startup Essentials podcast, where we dive into the topics of starting and growing your own online personal brand business. If you'd like to learn how you can have a portable online business and make money no matter where you're living, or maybe you just need some help getting clients, then this podcast is for you. I created my signature coaching program, Solopreneur Success Plan, and you can get on the waiting list at tomclaremont.com/coaching. But now let's get right into this episode. Well, today I have with me a special guest for this episode, a LinkedIn strategy coach, Sarim Asadi. Now, I came across Sarim's videos last year and was so impressed with the way he taught his content on LinkedIn, and how he just gave away so many excellent tips on how to maximize your usage of LinkedIn, how to get clients on LinkedIn, how to update your profile, and he just looked at LinkedIn from like every angle. But also, he did it in a way where he said, look, you can get clients without Sales Navigator and without paying for advertising. He goes, look, it's doable because I'm doing it. And in one of the more recent episodes that I did about why I hired a LinkedIn coach, it was about Sarim Asadi. Now, Sarim has a background in marketing, and he used to run a marketing business years ago, but then converted his business. He took a significant pivot and converted his business into a pure LinkedIn coaching program. So currently, Sarim lives in Colombia, but he grew up in Canada for quite some time. So Sarim, thanks for being here today to explain about how you built your online business and the struggles you had, and maybe how you converted from one business model to another. Maybe you can share some insights today on your success.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, Thomas, thanks so much for having me on your podcast. It's a real honor to be one of the guests here. And it's been a pleasure working with you. So, you know, just to lay that out first thing, you've been one of the best clients I've worked with in terms of professionalism, always showing up, to asking questions, you know, all of that stuff. So I just want to personally thank you before going into any of this, because, you know, none of this would have happened if it wasn't, you know, for both of us meeting each other. So thank you again.
Oh, thank you. Well, you certainly raised the bar for the kind of coaching program to have, and, you know, the kind of content you offer, the availability. But what I didn't know when I signed up to your program was that you had this like fantastic assistant.
Juanita, we should get her on the podcast.
Boy, oh boy, you know, it's like Batman and Robin here, although, you know, she's a female. But it's the dynamic duo, I guess we'll just call it, you know. And so so that's what really just knocked it out of the park for me. So, Sirim, how did you – so you're a young guy, you know, but you've had – this fantastic success here with your business. Let's dial it back a little bit. How did you sort of start out into your entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, that's a great question there, Thomas. So honestly, I think I was born with it to a certain extent. And I don't say that in any kind of, you know, boosting way, but ever since I can remember, right? Like when I was 9 years old, I would knock on people's doors and ask them if I could wash their car for like 10 bucks. I can't remember. Sometimes I charge 20 for the large SUVs. And then, you know, when I was in university, you know, when everyone was taking summer jobs, I came home and I started a lawn mowing business, and I would go and knock on people's doors and ask them if I could mow their lawn. So, you know, it's always kind of been inside me to, you know, run my own business, all that. I would say it was only when I graduated university, that's where, you know, you got to start taking things seriously, right? When I was in university, starting the lawn mowing business on the side, it was, you know, no real risk. So when I graduated university, that's kind of where I really decided, okay, what direction do I want to go into with my life? And I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. You know, I never took a job before. I mean, that's false. I did take a job once at a pizza shop. So I worked at a pizza shop. So if you're Canadian, I worked at Pizza Pizza for any of the Canadian watchers watching there. It's kind of like, every, you know, anybody from Ontario area will know that shop, will know that place. So anyways, when I graduated university, I was really fascinated with the world of digital marketing. I didn't know what area I wanted to go into. I didn't know like what to do specifically in the area of digital marketing. And, you know, thankfully at the time I had a friend who knew a lot more about digital marketing than me. We were the same age. So when we graduated, we both graduated undergrad at the same time. And I went on to do a master's. I did a master's in business entrepreneurship. And he went and just started his own business on his own. So, you know, I kind of honestly feel like I should have done what he did. But anyways, I ended up doing this master's. And during this master's, he started his business. He was basically a year ahead of me in terms of everything. And he was the first person who taught me and showed me the ropes, right? I was busy doing class assignments and he was learning how to run Facebook ads. He was, you know, bringing on clients for his marketing agency. So he had already run this stuff at the beginning. Then when I finished university, you know, he was the first person I reached out to. And I said, hey, look, you know, what do you recommend? You know, I start here. I'm, you know, really thinking of a business to start. And he actually first, before even my marketing agency, the first ever business I started was a blog, which is technically what, you know, the name of my company, Influence Digest, comes from my blog, my first blog. So the first ever business I started was influencedigest.com. It was an online blog. It's still around today, still fully functional, still a fully functioning business. And the way that worked is I started creating blogs on productivity, business, things of that nature. And I ended up growing that blog to almost 40,000 viewers in less than 6 months per month. Mm-hmm. So we were really, really like taking off with this business, with this blog. Everything was really going. It was fantastic. But the problem was, even though I built this great blog, I wasn't making any money from it really. Like it was like less than a couple hundred bucks a month, right? Like nothing to survive on. And it kind of frustrated me. You know, you put 6 months into work into something and, you know, you're not really seeing a lot of returns. But it was a good business model at the time. So I ended up actually building that business to a decent level beyond that, got it to a couple grand. And that's when, you know, a whole turn of events happened when I think I was 22 or at the time, maybe 23. And my friend said, look, I think your blog has done great. And I think it was a great intro, but I think you should start a marketing agency. I think that's where you can really come in and help people. And I said, great. What do you mean by marketing agency? He said, well, why don't you go and start actually going out and getting clients for people, running their marketing for them, all of that kind of stuff. So I said, okay, well, that's not a bad idea. Let's start on that. So I started a marketing agency, and my niche at the time were financial planners. Bad niche. Just an FYI, do not go for financial planners. They're very good at taking your money, not good at spending, you know, giving any money. But anyways, I started working with them, and they were kind of my first clients. I would bring them on, and I had this whole studio in downtown Toronto. It was awesome because my friend, who was already, you know, running his business, doing very successfully, he said, "Hey, look, I have an extra room in this office in Toronto. If you want, you know, here's the rent. You can come and rent this room from me. We can share this office. I can come and help you. All good." I said, "Perfect." So what I did was I set up this marketing studio in this place in downtown Toronto, and I, you know, put up a green screen, and I started bringing all of these, you know, financial planners across Toronto. I started bringing them in saying, "Hey, you know, let's film all your content in one day here, and then I'll publish it for you on LinkedIn, and we'll go out, we'll get you more buyers, we'll do all of this stuff." And you know what? The business actually worked pretty well for the first couple months. We started bringing people in. I started seeing my income grow, everything like that. It got to a really good point, and I was very, very happy about that. But then I kind of hit a wall. After about 6 months, the clients were working well, and I think this was my business mismanagement. I might have undercharged or whatnot. But basically, after 4 months of being in this new office running this marketing agency, I ran out of my cash and I couldn't pay rent to even stay in this office. And it got so bad, you know, I don't talk about this too often, but it got so bad that, you know, we ended up getting evicted from that office because we could not pay rent. I'll never forget. It was a cold February day. At the point I had been working in like I was out of school. It'd been like almost a year and a half. You know, I ran the blog. It didn't succeed as much as I wanted it to. I ran the marketing agency. I saw like some growth in it, and then it dropped, and I was really demoralized, right? Almost imagine going a year and a half, literally a year and a half, putting everything you got in it, racking up credit card debt, you know, just, you know, being in a bad financial situation. Whereas, you know, I go and I see all my friends who I graduated with. They all got, you know, good, comfy jobs. They're all making good money. They're going out on Fridays, getting steak dinners, doing all that stuff. And, you know, I'm still here kind of banging my head against the wall. So I'll never forget the day my friend called me. I had one client come in and I was happy about that. And he called me and he said, "Sorry, are you in the office right now?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm just filming with the client." He's like, "Okay, finish with this client, pack up your stuff and go. Because if the landlord sees you here, there's going to be big problems." Hmm. So I was like, "Oh my goodness." So I ended up packing all my stuff, getting in the back of an Uber. And like, it was all my like film equipment, the lighting, green screen, everything. And you know, it's funny, I was in such a tough position at that time. I remember I only had like, I don't say this too much, but I'll share this as well, is that I was in such a bad financial position at that time that my bank limit, my bank account, only I had an overdraft limit of $1,500, and my overdraft was already at negative $1,487. So I only had $13 left to spend. $13. And it wasn't even my money. It was overdraft money.
Yeah. Wow.
So I had to call this. I called the Uber and I'm praying that this is not going to be more than $13. Like that's all I literally could afford. So I put it in. I remember the Uber was $11. Thank God, got all my stuff, put it in the back of the Uber. And then I was staying with my brother at the time, living in his apartment. So I put all the stuff there. And I remember it was a cold February day, very cloudy, very snowy, just unpleasant. Definitely the weather fit the mood. And I remember I was crying. I was like very like down on my luck. I remember calling my dad saying like, "I don't know if I'm cut out to be an entrepreneur. Like this stuff is so hard. Like I've put everything into it for the last year and a half. Nothing's come out of it. Like, why is it like this?" And you know, my dad he gave me really good advice. He's like, "Look, this is all just going to fortify you into the better, you know, a better entrepreneur. You're going to be able to, you know, if you're dealing with this at 22, 23 years old, just imagine like how much more successful you're going to be when you're older." And obviously I appreciate the advice. I couldn't see it at the time because of what was going on. But, you know, from that point, I would say that was kind of my rock bottom in business. Right. And I remember I was living, like I said, in my brother's apartment. There's a whiteboard in the room and I couldn't sleep that night for obvious reasons. So I just looked at my business and I said, "Okay, like how can I redo this business in a way that it's really going to work this time?" And I realized, okay, well, do I need the office? No. Okay, well, let's, because that's a big expense there. So I cut that out and I started looking. I'm like, how can I run this marketing agency in a way that this is actually going to really produce not just money for me, but produce really good results for my clients, everything like that. So I literally spent the whole night, I don't think I slept that night, on a whiteboard writing all these ideas down. And I was like, "All right, this is the new business model. It's way more lean, it's way more effective, and we're going to get better results for our clients and we're going to make more money." So that's exactly what I did. I went into execution mode. The next 4 months, I remember it was February, March, April, May, June. Yeah, up until pretty much June. I just executed. I didn't do anything. I didn't go to a single party, didn't go to a single outing. I sat in my room and just worked. And I worked so much. And I'm telling you, that's when things started to take off for me, right? That's when finally, okay, started getting people paying me $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month. I remember when I got someone paying me my first $1,600 a month, I was like, this is great. And when you get a couple of those adding up, all of a sudden it's like, okay, wow, you know, we're running a six-figure business here. This is amazing. You know, like it was 4 or 5 months ago, this was a whole different situation. So, you know, I can honestly say that, you know, it was a tough situation, but, you know, I got myself out of it. I appreciate my support system, you know, my family, the people who were there for me, all that stuff, but, you know, I got myself out of that. And then that's what brought me to, you know, running this marketing agency. And like, we got the marketing agency to six figures, clients were happy, I was happy, everything was rolling. And then from just the business side of things, long story short, the pandemic hit in 2020. So this was a whole turning point for me. So at this point, I got the agency running. It had been like almost another year and a half of like things running very smoothly, making good money. Like I really had no major problems, you know, typical business problems here and there, but nothing major. It was all of a sudden things were, you know, for a lack compared to where they were before, much better situation.
Hey, just a quick reminder here that if you're frustrated or struggling with your online business launch, or if you just hit a wall with sales and you'd like some help with those topics, you can go to tomscalendar.com. It'll flip you right to my online calendar for the time that I donate to help people just like you. That's tomscalendar.com, okay? So let's get right back to the episode. But were you doing the same thing?
The marketing agency. Yeah, I was doing the marketing agency. I just, it was just a better model than before.
You tweaked it. Okay.
Yeah, I tweaked it. It was still done for you. Okay. It was still like, you know, full marketing agency. I just did it in a more efficient way. And so anyways, the pandemic ended up hitting. And this is where I kind of hit a crossroads, because I didn't mind running the marketing agency. And don't get me wrong, I was super grateful for running the marketing agency. But I just felt like, you know, I feel like I wasn't able to express myself enough. I felt there was another chapter. There was another layer to this. I don't know. It's more of an internal feeling. Like on paper, everything looked great. Like just keep going doing it. But I was like, I think I can help more people. I think I can impact more people. And that's kind of where I remember watching a video. I can't remember who it was. I might've been like Ty Lopez or something or somebody. And they were saying, you know, the best business to actually go into after a marketing agency is consulting or coaching. And they said, when you do a marketing agency, you help one person at a time. When you go into a consulting, you can help multiple people at a time. You can really scale that. So I thought about that and I was like, yeah, that makes more sense. So really, even though I had this perfect situation going for me, I said, you know what? I'm going to go and switch to this coaching model. So in 2020, I literally gave all my agency clients to my friends who ran agencies. I said, look here, take my clients, take care of them. They're all good to go. I'm going to start this from scratch again. I don't know. Maybe it was a bit of a crazy move considering I finally got stability after a while, but, you know, ran that. And then I'd say, but, you know, I would definitely say running the coaching business was, I think due to my experience previously as well, from like everything I learned, it took off a lot faster, right? I knew the pitfalls to watch out for. I knew how to grow it. I knew what to do. Like it was a much smoother route to get the coaching business off the ground than it was to get the marketing agency off the ground. So, you know, within a couple months, I was fully operational with this, you know, we were growing it. And then, you know, it started off as just me giving a couple one-on-one sessions to people, to a one-on-one program, to the group program, to online course, to essentially what you're in right now. So that's kind of a nutshell of what, you know, got me to where I am right now. And, you know, now I love the program we have. You know, we have an amazing group coaching program. A lot of people, I think we've had, you know, over 250 people who have enrolled in this program since its inception, maybe more actually. I don't know. I gotta look it up, but it's been fantastic. So I'm eternally grateful for the opportunity being able to work with amazing people and take it to where it is now.
So when you switched your business model during COVID,
yeah,
how long did it take you to ramp up and get your first client under the new business model?
Great question. So under the new business model, I would say my first client ever took me from the moment I launched it to the moment from the moment I launched it to the moment I got a client, I'd say it took me about a month. to get my first four weeks to get my.
It's pretty good.
It wasn't like a huge client. It was, she booked a call with me and she said she wanted to get her first couple of clients with her business. She, I think she was running her own marketing agency. So it was kind of a perfect fit. I just finished running my marketing agency so I could definitely help her with everything she was looking for. Yeah. So about 4 weeks, I would say, got my first client.
Oh, that's good. Good. Now, why did you pick LinkedIn over other platforms?
Great question. That's a fantastic question. So, well, this goes all the way back to the marketing agency. So when I was running the marketing agency, it was all through LinkedIn, right? I wasn't using any platform. So even when I was working with those financial planners, I was posting their content on LinkedIn, getting their clients from LinkedIn, right? So that was the first thing. But it actually kind of dates back to, when I was in my master's in 2017, I was just kind of like in class, maybe not paying attention as much as I should have, just kind of surfing the web. And I saw LinkedIn and I was like, I saw that you could post content and I was like, why is nobody posting content on this platform? I was honestly like, in 2017, nobody was posting content on LinkedIn, at least not like now, right? So it just kind of hit me. I was like, it's kind of foolish to not post content on LinkedIn. You have, every professional in the world is pretty much on LinkedIn and nobody's posting content. And I remember there was one influencer on LinkedIn at the time that I followed. His name was Jordan Carroll. He was a career coach actually at the time. And he was, even this was way before the pandemic and everything. And his whole career coaching offer was how to get a remote job online. Now, I wasn't interested in getting a remote job, but I was just impressed by him. I was like, so I actually DM'd him and I said, hey, Jordan, I've been following your content for a while. Like, can you tell me a little bit more about what you're doing on LinkedIn and like why you post so much content? And he just was like, hey mate, it's a gold mine. This is the best platform. No one's taking advantage of it. Great content. You'll get buyers here. No problem. Way easier than any other platform. So he was the first guy in 2017. I reached out. It's funny enough you asked me that because I reached out to him a few months ago and I was like, hey Jordan, I don't know if you remember me from 5 or 6 years ago when I reached out to you, but I just got to say thank you. That advice you gave me turned into a whole new life for me. And he laughed and he's like, oh, no worries. I fully remember you. Don't worry. He's like, you were that like quirky kid who had a lot of questions for me. And I was like, yeah. Yeah. So that one guy basically saw him posting content. And then that just opened my mind. I was like, I think LinkedIn is the place. So I just made a decision and was like, forget Instagram, forget Facebook, forget all that stuff. Let's just go all in on LinkedIn. Best decision I made.
Yeah, right. For sure. But you did expand your content to YouTube, right? You have a YouTube channel, but you don't you don't use YouTube as a way of getting clients. You use YouTube as a way of gaining exposure and client attraction, right?
Correct. So to be clear, I have two YouTube channels. I have my personal lifestyle channel, and that's just me traveling around the world doing, funny stuff. I don't know if you saw the latest video. It was like I was at a farm here in Colombia and chicken attacked me. It was pretty funny. We got that on camera. I tried to pick up a chicken, a rooster, and he just came and like ran at me. So anyways, that's the one side of it. So if you want to know about my personal life and what I get to outside of work, nothing to do with LinkedIn at all, just very much travel vlogs. That's the personal channel. But speaking to the business channel side, yes, you're correct. So the idea is that, LinkedIn itself has been fantastic and I, have built my entire business through LinkedIn. So this is in no means me saying I'm ditching LinkedIn or going to YouTube or anything like that. Quite the opposite, actually. This has given me more reason to double down on LinkedIn. But what I've created with this YouTube channel is two things, right? I've learned in business that the more content that you can get somebody to consume of you, the higher probability that they will buy from you, right? So for example, Thomas, there was a certain amount of content you saw for me, it wasn't just one post and you're like, oh, let's jump on this guy and let's sign up for his program, right? You probably saw enough content where it instilled a certain level of confidence in you where you said, okay, well, I've been following him for a while. I trust him. Let's move forward, right?
Yeah.
So I realized that, on LinkedIn, the reality is that I can only create very short form content, right? Just written posts or like 1 to 2 minute videos. And don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with that. I encourage my clients to do it. I encourage you to do it. But I realized, okay, well, why not create longer videos, right? Where I'm giving more value to people. So that's why I created the Influence Academy YouTube page, right? So the whole YouTube page, and the reason I do this is because now if you go on the page, I think we've published, I can't even remember, like almost 100 videos now, each video being like 10 minutes. So we're talking about 100 minutes of high, high value content. So that's hours, right? So now, I think more than 100 minutes, maybe 1,000. So anyways, I get on, so now when people show interest in me or anything like that, I direct them to my YouTube channel. I say, hey, if you want to learn a little bit more about me, like your, you know, strategies on LinkedIn, watch this. And I can't tell you how effective it's been. It's been a great nurture tool, right? So now when people, I get on calls with people, they're like, oh, dude, I just spent my entire night last night watching you on YouTube. And it's like, I think about it. If someone has sat there and consumed hours of my content, I don't need to sell them. I don't need to convince them. They're sold.
Right.
So that's why I did this YouTube channel. And don't get me wrong, it's had a second benefit too, where from the one end, it's been a nurture tool, right? So with my leads on LinkedIn and all the people who've shown interest to me on LinkedIn, it's been great, right? You know, I take them from LinkedIn. If they want to be nurtured a little bit more, hey, check out my YouTube channel. Tons of hours of content for you to take advantage of. Great. But also it's led to another benefit. People are just finding me directly on YouTube now. Yeah. Right? People who have LinkedIn, who want to get clients from LinkedIn, they're searching up like how to get clients on LinkedIn. They're finding my videos. And then from there, they're booking calls with me and then they're buying, which is now it's actually one, it's been a nurture source, like I just said before, but it's also brought in a new traffic source as well. So it's really helping me scale the business to where I want to take it. And I'm very grateful for that. So YouTube, it's a long-term play, and believe me, I'm pulling my hair out every day trying to, you know, figure out how to grow this channel. It's a slow burn, burn.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I do see the potential in it, and, you know, and I'm just somebody, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to commit all the way. So I've committed, like, I pretty much told myself I'm going to commit the next 5 years, to YouTube without any questions. So, you know, I'm just starting in the game. I've only been on YouTube for about 8 months now consistently. So yeah, well, I'll let you know how it goes, but I'll tell you, I'll continue to be on YouTube from both the lifestyle channel and the business channel. I've given it a 5-year commitment. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
It's really a gold mine of content for sure. Now, as you were growing your business, you've mentioned before that you've had it, like a number of virtual assistants along the way. As you're growing your business, how did you get to the point of saying, okay, I need to hire a VA? What sort of made you reach that point of saying, you know, it's costing me money not to have a VA?
Great question. And I hope other people pay attention to this, because this is super important. It's very important. Okay. So the answer to your question, which is when is the right time to essentially hire a VA? It's when you feel that the work that you're doing has hit a point of diminishing returns, right? To answer this in a simpler way, in a more simple way, it's like this. Look, when you start your business, I don't recommend hiring a VA, even if it's to do the boring tasks, like add your connections, comment on posts, like posts, you know, do all that kind of admin work. I get it. People come from corporate careers where they're making six figures and they're like, now I'm just adding connections. Like, this is not a good use of my time. Wrong. It is a good use of your time at the beginning, because if you don't know how to do these things, then how can you expect someone else to know how to do it, right? There's a difference between outsourcing and delegating. Bringing on a VA is the benefit of bringing on a VA is to delegate them work. You want to delegate them work, right? So that they can make your life easier. So the right time to bring on a VA is when you have mastered all of the admin tasks. There's no confusion. There's no, you know, everything is very straightforward, like adding your connections, posting your content, responding to posts, like things of these administrative tasks. Like, there's a long list. I just named like 3 or 4. Once you know those tasks, you've gotten them inside out, then it might be worth it. Okay, why don't I bring on a VA, someone who can help me do this? And I can employ them for 3-4 hours a day, right? They can do this work for me. And then from there, then you can focus on the higher leverage tasks, right? Taking sales calls, creating content, speaking with people. Those are the things that will actually move the needle a lot more. But you have to essentially do it all at the beginning so that you can get comfortable with it. Then you can delegate. The worst time to bring on a VA is when you don't know how to do something yourself. Mm. Never give someone a task that you cannot do yourself.
Mm. Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I recently hired a VA and created videos for him so that it put them up on my Google Drive for him. And that way, as I'm typing out, what to do, I just say, hey, look at this video, look at that video. He can see how I did it, and that way sort of eliminates the confusion for sure.
Absolutely.
So how do you build a business as a solopreneur and avoid getting burnt out?
Yeah, great question. So, and it is something to be very wary of. And I'm glad you asked that, right? So you build a business as a solopreneur two ways. So number one, you got to sell a high ticket product, right? That's the number one thing, because then it's really just about getting one win, right? Whereas like if you're a solopreneur selling like a $5 course or a $5 ebook, one win's not going to do anything, right? Whereas if you have a $5,000 program, and again, you got to be able to deliver on, don't just jack up your price because I said to jack up your price, make sure your value is equivalent to the price or greater than. If not, it should be greater than.
Right.
But my point being is that when you are a solopreneur, the number one thing that you need to focus on is cash injections into your business. You need cash as the lifeblood of a business, right? Now, there's two sides to a business. There's sales and marketing, and there's client fulfillment, right? Those are two different areas. Now, at the beginning of your business, client fulfillment is the easy part. Sales and marketing is the hard part. Because if you don't have a lot of clients, it's very easy to fulfill a client, right? Get them working with you, done. Once you start to scale, well, then you have to dedicate a lot more time to client fulfillment and figure out your sales and marketing. So at the beginning, the key to not burning out as a solopreneur is really dial in, get really good at sales and marketing, get really good and master the skill. And the skills you're going to have to master are one-on-one communication with prospects, content creation, and closing on sales calls. Those are three fundamental skills you have to get very good at. Once you get good at those skills, I'm telling you, you'll make more money. So if you want to avoid burnout, you get good at those skills. The solopreneurs that I see that get burnt out is that they're not good at those skills. They're not good at selling. They're not good at creating the right kind of content. They're not good at presenting the right kind of offers, and then they get burnt out. It's not necessarily that the work is too much, right? The reality is, if you're trying to get a single client, right? It shouldn't take more than like 10 sales calls to get one client. That's a 10% rate, right? It shouldn't. Maybe at the beginning, I can understand a little bit more. You can have a little bit more slack for yourself, but if you're taking 10 calls, you should be able to close one person. And if you cannot, that's fine, but understand that that's a skill that needs to be improved, right? So then the whole equation becomes, how can I improve that skill, right? So to avoid burnout, work on those three skills. You work on those three skills, you will avoid burnout. You will make more money. And then again, if you sell at a higher price point of $5,000 or more, everything starts to take care of itself.
Burnout happens a lot less when you're making really good money, right?
Yeah. Sales cures all. Sales somehow cures everything.
Yeah. Well, Sarim, thanks for really digging into your story and explaining how you went through the process of going from one business to another, and you learned from mistakes, and everybody has hurdles and problems, and you hit a wall at some point. Everybody goes through these things, but you were able to push through, and I'm convinced you just never lost the belief in yourself. And that's amazing, because I talked to a number of people just recently, and a lot of people struggle with that, the belief in themselves. But it's just really good to hear your story. I'm glad that you were able to squeeze in some time for me today. And if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Yeah, great question. First of all, again, thank you for having me, Thomas. It's an honor to be here. So if anyone wanted to get in touch with me, very simple, just reach out to me on LinkedIn. Tell me, hey, I watched your podcast with Thomas. Let me know. I'd be happy to get back to you, talk to you from that point onwards. So yeah, easiest point of contact with me is always LinkedIn. I'm pretty much active on there every day.
Sure. Well, I'll put your contact information in the show notes. Folks, if you are thinking about building a business, if you're wondering who you should work with, it's a no-brainer for me. Look up Sarim Asadi. I'm going to put his connection information in the show notes for this episode. You will not be disappointed, I'm sure. So Sarim, thanks for sharing your story with us today.
Oh, thanks so much again, Thomas, for having me. It was an absolute pleasure just speaking with you and, just hanging out.
Hey, friend, that's all we have for this episode. Thanks for listening. Now, if you're struggling with your new solopreneur business and maybe struggling with sales in 2024, it's probably because things are getting a little too complicated and you might be wasting a lot of time and a lot of money in the process. It's very possible that the solution is just tweaking one or two things that you're already doing. Now, there's no one-size-fits-all solution, right? So let's schedule a time to talk about this and what will work for you. Go to tomscalendar.com and book a time slot for us to connect, okay? So as always, though, stay encouraged, follow your dream, and don't give up.